Paul Soll is the CEO of the Florida High Tech Corridor Council. He's also a retired Rear Admiral and former commander of the Navy's Operational Test and Evaluation Force. Paul, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, Matthew. It's a pleasure.
You've been in this job for just over a year now. It's been a pretty tumultuous year. How's that been for you?
Great question. And I'll tell you that during the pandemic, as I started a year ago in June, everything was Zoom. It was a bit of a blessing because I was able to, one of the things I needed to do quickly was learn a lot and listen a lot. And so using Zoom, I was able to go across the 23 counties almost on an hourly basis to meet folks, introduce myself, understand what they do. And so it worked. It's worked out pretty well.
And the goal of the High Tech Corridor Council is really to leverage the, I guess, the intellectual might of those three universities, right? UCF, USF, and University of Florida, and to grow the high tech industry and innovation in Central Florida. So having spent a year kind of getting to know the ins and outs of that, what does that sort of high tech future look like?
Yeah, there have been probably more aha moments than I cared to believe I might have had. And certainly you mentioned our three partner universities. One of the first kind of big things that I've recognized are all the other educational institutions that are out there. So you've got state colleges, you've got other universities, you've got tech colleges, you've got a great K-12 system. So that production of high-tech workforce, which is huge for the growth of this area, is in good form. So that was one of the big things. The other thing I've noticed is the breadth of technology. You've got everything from ag tech in the agriculture world. You've got modeling and simulation down here in Orlando. You've got financial tech out in Tampa. You've got the Space Coast. So the breadth of that technology is huge as well across the corridor.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of the Space Coast, there is a fairly big development project in Brevard County that just got launched. Tell me a little bit about how the High Tech Corridor has been involved in that.
Yeah, so on the Space Coast with the Space Coast EDC and with Space Florida, of course you got huge commercial industry out there now with commercial launches. Some of the things people don't know are things like on the manufacturing side. They're actually manufacturing satellites out there. So it goes beyond what I think I probably believed last year coming down. It goes way beyond just the launch capability. So with SpaceX and Blue Origin and what NASA's doing, it's almost like our connection with everything else, the technologies that go into it, whether it's in the aerospace field specifically, where we talk about manufacturing, we talk about, and we are engaged in really partnerships across the corridor to make that happen. And that's an exciting piece.
Back to COVID, I know there was some research being done with some funding from the High Tech Corridor into how to do better with healthcare around COVID, right? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. One of the big programs, and the corridor's been around for 25 years. So we turned 25. We're gonna celebrate that throughout the year. When COVID happened, and you think about the small and medium sized companies and manufacturers that are across the corridor in Florida, amazing chance to be able to pivot. One of our big programs is what we call matching grants research. And what we do both at UCF and at USF is we're able to take some of our resources, really partner with small and medium-sized companies as we bring them to the university to do practical research to really take technologies to solve these big problems. I don't think there was a better example than COVID. So what we did at USF and UCF is we were able to take some of those dollars and immediately inject it into researchers that were working on the COVID challenge. So you have both schools were focused on trying to solve that. We had the ability to have money to be able to apply that and partnerships kind of across the region to make that happen. And so there was that quick pivot that I think really was, it was interesting to watch from my perspective being new down here for sure.
There's also, just because of the last year and a half and the impact of the pandemic, there's been a lot of attention paid to the service sector economy in Central Florida. And this is not just 2020, 2021, right? I mean, this is always a conversation going on about Florida's economy. Like, it's a little bit lopsided. There's a lot of jobs kind of at the lower end of the spectrum, and then tech and the kind of jobs that are associated with that is often seen as a way to sort of build out our economy and make it more diverse and give us better paying jobs. Do you think, like, or do you see that the high tech sector really having a significant impact on Florida's economy, particularly here in Central Florida?
Yeah, so great question. And you know, we all saw what happened with COVID and the tourism and entertainment and what that did to this economy. I think you have to look no further than what, and I'll use Orange County as an example with their clustering initiative. It's Mayor Deming's industry diversification program, and we're spearheading that for him. The reason I'm doing that is because I can see there's value across the corridor for that. And when I think about that and that industry diversification and what the tech sector can do, I want people to understand, and this is, again, one of those aha moments, Matthew, that I had down here. The culture in Florida is very yes and. It is very both and. It is, people approach things, whether you're crossing streams in two technology silos or you're crossing city boundaries or regional boundaries, there's very much an inclusive kind of culture to start. So when we talk about thinking about diversification in the economy, it is tourism and technology. Think about all the tech that's going on at Disney and Universal. Think how we can connect that then with the technology that's throughout the corridor. There are infinite ways of doing that. I'll give a final word and a shout out to the retired president from USF, Steve Corral, who wrote a book called Organized Innovation. And in one of those chapters, he talks about boundary-breaking collaboration and the value of true boundary-breaking collaboration. When I read that book early in my career here, I was sold. Because of all the technology sectors that we have and the magic that can happen between those clusters, I see it happening today.
What about the way we've responded to the pandemic as it's evolved? Like, you know, we're seeing a second surge of COVID now. Some of the public health initiatives are pretty simple things, right? They're around vaccinations, around masking and stuff. I'm wondering what your perspective is on the role of technology and kind of helping us get out of this crisis. Like, how big a part do you think tech, and particularly the high-tech world, has to play in that?
Yeah, well, certainly with vaccines, and I'll talk there specifically, when you realize how fast those vaccines came out, a lot of that was all the pre-work that had been done, not just in Florida, but really kind of across the world, in the technologies of how to develop vaccines. Florida has a great life sciences role. I mean, think of Medical City down in Lake Nona. Think of what goes on at USF. Think of what goes on at UF. University of Florida hospitals and immunology there. Tremendous amount of work that went in to prepare us, little did we know it was going to hit, to be able to produce vaccines quickly. So technology is absolutely there. Now think of distribution, and the technology of getting those things to where they need to be is another key thing that I think technology can help with. And I think we also need to look at what did the pandemic show us on what's vulnerable. Think of the food system. Think of how critical that global food system kind of came crashing down around us. one of the partnerships we have is with Four Roots, with John Rivers. And I know you interviewed him a few weeks ago, and John's a great guy. And what his foundation is doing with the Four Roots Farm Campus right here in Orlando, and showing, and this goes to the education piece, showing our kids and our families what kinds of things can be done with, John will show you, there's technology in dirt. And so as we think about what the pandemic, what we can learn from it, I think we have to go beyond vaccines and we can look at other systems that we have to make more resilient. And that's one of the big lessons that I've learned, taking advantage of the understanding and the learning to then re-vector where we need to focus.
I want to come back to the Space Coast because you know, you're a former test pilot. You have a degree in astronautical engineering too, so you know this field better than probably a lot of folks.
I have a lot of friends over there too, and I'm always jealous because I have friends who are classmates who are astronauts, and I'm jealous and I'm blessed at the same time knowing what they're going to do, what they've done, and what they're going to do in the future.
Did you want to be an astronaut at some point?
Oh yeah, of course. I think I say of course. Maybe there are a few, you know, test pilots out there that don't want to be. But honestly, if you corner them, they're going to say sure. I was blessed with a couple of interviews. I didn't make the cut. It's important to have humbling experiences like that going forward. And at the same time, you realize you can watch what the space program is doing. I'll share with you quick. One of the things we do, one of the things our real folk, a lot of our focus is on STEM education, and there are a lot of STEM summer camps over the last 2 years. A lot of online things. We did a couple of summer camps with the National Center for Simulation and some eighth graders, and I got a chance to talk to them for about 30 minutes because in this particular summer camp they were building drones, and so we talked about testing drones. And one of the gals on the call, one of the eighth graders, she asked me, because we started talking about space exploration. And she asked me, hey, Mr. Sowell, how do we make sure we don't pollute the next planet that we go to, kind of like we're doing here? And I thought, whoa, I did not expect that kind of deep question. And it generated this whole other sort of line of discussion. My point is that the kids that want to be astronauts, the kids that want to do great things in bioscience, the kids that want to learn about and study farming and transportation and everything else, it's all right here in Florida. It's just right here, and they can do anything they want and get exposed and have experiences anything they want.
I wonder what your thoughts, too, just reflecting on the last couple of months, looking at what's happening in the space industry, because, you know, we've had this sort of boom in space tourism, or at least the early stages of it, right? You've had Jeff Bezos, Richard Branson, Elon Musk, I think, planning something for later in the year. And Branson made a comment about kind of making space accessible to all. Of course, there's a price tag attached, but thinking about, you know, when you were embarking as a test pilot, probably the road to becoming an astronaut was a bit narrower than it is now.
Yeah. I hope I'm around where, you know, I hope the price comes down so I can go and see what that's like, and to really view the Earth. You know, it is, and I have a bunch of friends who are still current astronauts who really talk about the life-changing experience when you get to see this planet from that view. I was a kid, I was 6 years old with a little black and white TV watching Neil Armstrong step down. And then you saw another picture in my mind is the Earthrise picture from the backside of the moon looking across and seeing the Earth come up. And how precious this planet is for us, and why that space exploration is so important as well, because it not only drives technology, I think it drives dreams. I think it drives creativity. And that's maybe another sort of aha moment here, that I had to redefine what technology is in my mind. I used to think, you know, well, technology, it's all the nanotech and it's the artificial intelligence. And then I realized that at the end of the day, it's really about creativity. And being able to harness that creativity that's right here. It's right here in the corridor, and you can see it. We've moved a lot of our educational stuff earlier and earlier in the pipeline. Orlando Science Center with Joanne Newman is great. And I believe that technology and what we do at the corridor can be a part of lifting up everybody. We could focus on a lot of things, but if I can focus for my time here, however long that is, to serving the underserved, that would be great because the creativity in that group is untapped right now in the world of technology.
Paul Soll, he's the CEO of the Florida High Tech Corridor Council. Paul, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Matthew. Appreciate it.